Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, it's not often when a song is composed whose lyrics could stand in place of the content of a sermon. But Matthew West got really close when he wrote the song, Me on Your Mind. And if you're unfamiliar with it, it starts out this way. I've read the words in red, how you leave the 99 to find the one missing feels like that was written with me on your mind. And the prodigal son who ran, leaving his home behind, the part where the father came running to meet him, did you say that with me on your mind? Who am I that the king of the world would give one single thought about my broken heart? Who am I that the God of all grace wipes the tears from my face and says, come as you are? You paid the price. You took the cross. You gave your life. And you did it all with me on your mind. See, it's a song that explores not just the activities of God, but the motivations behind them. It frames the story of God in a way that becomes personal to each one of us. Our God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, did it all for you. And he did it all for me. Now, John writes something similar in our gospel passage this morning when he writes this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In the beginning was nothing. Absolutely nothing except God. He was, he is, and he always will be. And there was nothing that he lacked. Nothing. And yet, he created from nothing everything. But why? What was his reason? For he lacked nothing. He could have... What could creation provide that he didn't already possess? What could motivate him to do it? Yet he did. And through this, all things were made. And it was all good. Very good. But his creation wasn't satisfied with it. His creation wanted more. Wanted not to serve God, but to be God. And so it rejected him. It rebelled against him. And he knew, even before he created, that it would happen. And yet, he created anyway. Why? To what end? He could have destroyed what he had created, what we had corrupted, but he didn't. Instead, what did he do? He sent Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. And instead of destroying creation, he planned to redeem creation by sending us a Savior in the form of a baby child. This child would grow as every child does, but he would be perfectly obedient to the Father who sent him. And John talks about this when he writes, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." See, after we sinned, after we rejected God, he sent us a Savior, a solution to our problem. But we rejected him. We esteemed him not. And we sent him to suffer under Pontius Pilate, who then crucified him, hung him on a tree until he died. God knew this even before he sent us his Son, that we would reject him. Yet, he did it anyway. Why? To what end? And after Jesus died, after he was buried, he descended into hell to bear witness to the victory that he had won. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead and ascended into heaven, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. You see, every Sunday we sit in this church and we hear about all of this. And because the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we recognize it. We confess that God is the Creator and Jesus is the Savior. We know all of this, but do we get it? Do we really get it? Do we understand it in our minds alone, or do we feel it in our hearts? This is what I want to impress upon you this morning. As you imagine the scene play out in Bethlehem, you see the stable where the animals share a space with Mary and Joseph and this newborn baby child that they name Jesus. But do you also see yourself in that scene? Or does it just resemble a cover of a Hallmark card? You see, John wants you to paint yourself in that manger scene. Not as an observer, but as the reason that the baby is swaddled in the manger. You are the reason. And if you don't see that, if you don't feel that in your heart, then the value of this event degrades to being nothing more than just an excuse to gather with friends and with family. You see, John wants to paint you in that manger scene. He wants you to paint you in that manger scene. He says so when he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." This is the why. You are the why. You are God's motivation for not just the baby Jesus, but for the creation of the universe. All of this was done because of you, because of me. All of it was done because God loved you before you were even born. And because of that love, He created so that you could be created. And He sent Jesus so that you, the one that He loved, the one that He created for, could live with Him forever. You are why the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You are the reason that He has shown us His glory. You are the reason He sends us grace upon grace. You see, all of this, the creation, the birth of Jesus, all of it was done for you. It's an overwhelming truth, one that can make us pause and contemplate everything. Who am I that the God of all grace wipes the tears from my face and says, "Come as you are"? You paid the price. You took the cross. You gave your life. And you did it all with me on your mind. We know the answer to this question because we have seen the work of God. Who am I? I am everything to God. You are everything to God. He has made all. He has given all for you. You are not cognitive knowledge to Him, but are an invaluable person that He sacrificed everything for. He knows every hair on your head. This is how intimate His knowledge is of you. This is how great His love is for you. And this is why there was a baby lying in a manger 2,000 years ago. It had nothing to do with His love of this world and everything to do with His love for you. Who are we that the God of all grace gave His life for us? Who are we that the King of the world wipes the tears from our face and says, "Come, come as you are"? Quite simply, we are everything. Everything to Him. He paid the price. He took the cross. He gave His life. He did it all with you and with me on His mind. And what a wonderful, wonderful Christmas present that thought is for us this morning. Please pray with me. I've read the words in red of a heavenly home on high. You're preparing a place where the sorrow's erased, and when I stand before you, I'll find that all along it was me on your mind. Amen.